Dear PAC members, dear colleagues, good morning. On behalf of the team, I will present the progress report about the MPD project realization. After a short introduction about the NICA MPD niche and project goals, I will address the following topics: status of the MPD TDR preparation, readiness of the team for the MPD mass production of the detector subsystems, and I will present also several selected results of the feasibility study for the MPD. In the QCDA phase diagram accessible in heavy ion collision, the NICA niche, this is high mu B region, the region of the biochemical potentials for both experiments at NICA indicated in this table. Transforming from baryon rich matter to the meson rich one, the highest net baryon density achieved at NICA, which is essential to probe the signals for the confined phase transition and chiral symmetry restoration. Also, maximum in this region, the maximum of the strangeness to entropy ratio was found, and also this region favors the formation of the exotic object like hypernuclei. Also, in the energy range of NICA, the experimental observed an increase of the anti-hyperon polarization, implying the formation of the QCD matter with high vorticity. And also, what is favored in the study of the dileptone spectra contribution from the correlated semi-lepton decay is small in this energy range, in contrast to the higher energy range, as indicated here. Calculation from the PHSD model shown in green. The NICA physics program is published in so-called NICA white paper. The all physics cases are listed, not all of the main physics cases are listed here. In short, we plan to perform a detailed energy system size scan and study variety of phenomena by measuring phase space distribution, event by event fluctuation, and correlation of multiple probes from electron gammas to light nuclear and hypernuclear. MPD detector at NICA for the stage one setup, drawn here, will provide tracking with TPC up to pseudo rapidity 1.6, combining the DDX in time of light and ECAL in the pseudo rapidity range up to 1.2. Fast forward, forward hadronic calorimeter covering pseudo rapidity range from 2 to 5 will provide us information about event centrality and direction of the event play, direction of the impact parameter vector, and trigger and T0 will be provided with fast forward detector. Here's a collection of the result, realistic MPD simulation for the stage one setup, indicated the high efficiency and very good momentum resolution up to pseudo rapidity 1.4. Reconstruction of the primary vertex from TPC multiplicity from 100 to 500 microns for central and peripheral collisions, from 5 to 10% resolution for the event centrality, and FHCAL coverage and granularity provide good result for event plane resolution, as indicated here by centrality dependence of the first and second order event plane. For the hadron identification, combination of the ionization loss and time of flight measurements will be used, provided us the hadron separation pion from Cairn up to about 2 GV and proton from Cairn above 3 GV. As an example here, shown phase space distribution for net protons, protons minus antiprotons at lowest and highest NICA energies. The rectangle inside, this is a proposed area for measurement net protons, and the plot in the middle, this is expected multiplicity, event by event multiplicity at NICA is MPD detector. So we plan to measure from about 35 to 65 protons, net protons per central collision. However, due to this interception region where a DDX band for hadrons cross over the one for electrons. We need additional detector for rejection of hadrons in electron sample. Electromagnetic calorimetry will provide this information using information about energy deposit equal ratio and energy over momentum and timing from equal. We will get additional rejection power for hadrons indicated here in this in this plot. So such that electron purity with combinations of the TPC, TOF, and ECAL versus momentum is shown here. So in principle, it can be improved if we make the selection cut stronger, but of course, in this will additional penalty in the efficiency. So now I come to the status of the MPD TDR preparation. This is a list of the DAC members. Their meetings take place regularly, once per half a year. The last one was on the end of January. The status of the TPC, time of flight, and ECAL TDRs were discussed. In principle, members of the DAC approved the recent changes in the design of the electronics for TPC based on SAMPA chip, and they encouraged the team to speed up the process of the designing from the electronics chosen design of the front-end electronics. Time of flight TDR was in principle accepted without major objections. They in principle ready for the green light. FFD got green light more than a year ago. There is some delay with the preparation of the ECAL TDR caused by change in the ECAL geometry. More comments will be given in a minute. So the FHCAL TDR is now, this new update is ready for getting green light. It will be discussed during the next DAC meeting, which is scheduled for Wednesday. And in addition, the status of the TPC and TOF TDR with answers to the expert questions will be discussed as well. So now I come to the progress in infrastructure preparation for MPD assembly. As you have heard already, there's substantial progress in the construction of the buildings for collider and for detectors, such that in principle we expect the MPD hall to be ready by the end of this year. Today, the active preparatory work aimed in the preparation of the place, tooling, and scenario for successful MPD assembly ongoing. Here is several illustrative slides. This is a scheme of the magnet element placing before assembling. Also, the crans to move heavy object during MPD installation are ready. It will be constructed and will be delivered to Jin in July. Also, design of the MPD support mobile platform for service and supply system is ready. The status of the MPD solenoid construction. In principle, today all solenoid cylinders as well as vacuum vessels are ready. Trim coils are produced. Now the process of the winding of the superconducting coil for one cylinder is ongoing. And all necessary tooling for compounding of the cylinder are ready. This is a vacuum kiln and special construction of special system for putting the into the kiln. So the plan of the final assembling of the magnet is the following. So in principle, once two among three cylinders are ready, the control assembly at IGS Italy will start. After finishing all the tests, it will be delivered to Ginner, and control assembly at Ginner is scheduled for May, August next year, of course, in case of the all infrastructure will be ready. In parallel, there is a good progress in MPD magnet yoke construction. Actually, it's ready. So all elements, including plates, poles, rings, alignments, are ready. Now the process of final control assembling and tuning is ongoing. Once it's done, it will be again disassembled and sent to Genera. The expected delivery to Genera, this is August, October this year. Now I switch to the MPD TPC. After recent evaluation of the TPC TDR, as I mentioned before, there was several minor corrections, except this is a recommendation to speed up the design of the front-end electronics. Some TPC elements and assembling tooling, for example, fuel cage, rods, manipulators, are in production. Here is a photo of the redoubt chamber manipulator constructed in Bryansk. It will be sent to Genera very soon. The issue is the flatness of the produced PET planes. Unfortunately, the elements produced in China have bending larger than expected. The team proposed two scenarios to overcome this problem. One is this production of the TPC plane made of two pieces. Here shown an example. This is ready now under test. Another solution, a new producer from company from Italy was found, and they agreed to construct the single unit and will be sent in June to Genera for testing. Also, the efforts aimed in optimization of the front-end electronics based on Sampa chip are ongoing, which includes the PSB design and design of the integration front-end electronics with readout chamber. This is shown a drawing proposed design of this integration. So also service system for TPC are in production or under test. Here is a photo of the TPC gas system with gas imitator under tuning. Now I switch to the MPD time of flight. The team reports the following activity over the recent last year. After recent evaluation, TOF TDR in principle is got green light. Also, there was some efforts in the renovation of the time of flight workshop area aimed in improved ventilation here. Also, there's process production of the time of flight MRPC component as well as construction of the service system. This is a design of the top model slipway. This is a top model itself. Also construction of the MRPC test area. So in principle, the readiness status of the time of flight barrel is shown here in percent for different subsystem modules, front-end electronics, supply systems, test area, and so on and so forth. The MPD electromagnetic calorimeter, the team for construction of this system is enlarged. Now it includes not only members of the Genera, but also a collaborator from China, from ITEP, from Protvino. They are addressing the following activities. First of all, after finalizing ECAL geometry, now it's projectile type shown here. They were performed comprehensive test for this geometry. This a couple of results indicated very good granularity versus azimuthal angle and pseudo rapidity for this geometry. Also, the mass production technology was tested and improved. By now, three workshops at Genera, Protvino, and Tsinghua are ready. This is some photo illustrating how ECAL module assembly procedure will looks like. Also, integration scenario for the ECAL progressing, leading by Genera engineers and contracted companies. here's a couple of drawing indicating how front-end electronic support platform looks like and how integration scenario inside MPD will looks like. And also all are working on the TDR preparation. More information about the status of the TDR and progress in BDECAL will be given during the next MPD DAC meeting on Wednesday. Now I go to the MPD forward calorimeter, which is produced in Institute for Nuclear Research in Troitsk. The progress prior to today, the team performed successful beam test in the NICA energy range with the dimension of the real model with the real electronics. This is a result of this test for energy resolution and linearity in NICA energy range. So in principle, the results meet our requirements. Also, the team from MIFI, led by Arkady Taranenko, performed final simulation test for this FHK. They are included into TDR and will be discussed on Wednesday as well. Also, the status of the production, in principle, one-third of the all models are ready for today. Very challenging task, this is integration of the multipurpose detector, which is led by Nikolai Topilin and Suhovarov from our lab and several contracted companies. This is a slide illustrates some stages of the installation of the MPD. Also, they perform a mock-upping of this process. A couple of photos shown how the installation will take place. So now I would like to present a couple of results for MPD performance study made by team from MIFI using FHCAL as the event plane detector and TPC estimator for centrality and recent development in the MPD reconstruction. They performed the study of the V1, V2, coefficients as function of rapidity and PT, and they indicate very small difference between Monte Carlo data and the reconstructed one. Also, despite of the low statistic, results for the flow for lambda hyperons looks promising. This is the results MPD performance for multi-strangeness, again with the recent development in the MPD reconstruction, invariant mass lambda into lambda xi and phase space for these particle species. MPD detector will provide a very good prospect for study of multi-strangeness. As you already know, the first kickoff meeting in MPD BMN took place a couple of months ago. It was attract much interest in the heavy ion community in Russia and worldwide. So now we are waiting for the formation of all the board in the collaboration. So very recently, several unions of international institutions were formed and plan to join MPD. This is a NICA PL consortium, several Polish institutions, several institutions from China and from Mexico. So now I come to the summary. We report about substantial progress in MPD project realization, includes construction of all subsystem for stage one, supported by the efficient MPD detector advisory evaluation process. Next meeting for Wednesday. And international collaboration around the NICA is growing. Again, new partners are invited to join NICA. So again, the first meeting, kickoff meeting was in April. Now we're waiting for all other successful steps. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Vadim. So this is now open for discussions.
Short comment, congratulations that now MPD becomes really an international collaboration and also with Russian participation. I have one question to your first overview slide where you show ECAL in the projective geometry. It looks like the at forward rapidities the ECAL gets shorter. I don't think you propose that, right? Here.
Yes.
It seems the forward parts are shorter. They should be as long as the at large rapidities.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's maybe some kind of vision. Yeah, yeah, it should be the same. Yeah.
And the second part you have for this year, you have the largest budget part for ECAL, but we are not yet ready. So you, I hope you can shift the funding for next year. Because we are debating ECAL in this meeting on Wednesday. And hopefully we get all the positive answers and green light. But then you have only half a year to spend this huge amount of money which you had allocated in the budget table which we got last time. No?
We'll answer. So I, okay. In principle, I suggest to go back to this question during our DAC meeting to discuss in more detail the proposed scenario of funding and other stuff, mass production.
Yeah, I also have a question regarding to the ECAL. I have actually two questions. I believe we will discuss more in depth on Wednesday, but here you get a preview. You mentioned that you have now three construction sites for the ECAL. Now, it is absolutely essential that the modules produced at these three sites perform exactly and are exactly the same. So are you making sure that the tooling used at the three sites is identical? So that not each site design its own tooling, but there is one design of the tooling and it's used by all three sites. The second question I have is related to the timetables. Since the ECAL is a big piece of equipment, and you mentioned that the MPD should be ready for 2020, this is about 2 years or 2 years and a half if you stretch till the end of 2020. Do you think that this is doable?
Yeah, concerning the first question, of course, we are trying to be absolutely sure about identity. Very similar parameter of the tooling for
it's not very similar parameter. The tooling should be designed at one place and should be triplicated.
Yeah.
So the tooling is identical.
This is what I want to say.
Okay.
So this should be a replica of the design.
Okay. And how about the timetable?
Yeah, timetable, maybe it's better to estimate to have all barrel ECAL model produce it prior to maybe 2021. So in principle, the situation with funding and all open issues concerning the integration and production will be very soon addressed and answered. So in principle, the production scenario, the deadline, this is end of 2020.
Okay, we'll come back to that. So Hans.
Yeah, you go one step too fast for me. I think ECAL to be or not to be. I want to see ECAL simulations which show that in gold we can measure a pi zero to a certain degree in energy, to a certain degree in space and particle density. And this is the to be or not to be question to be solved. Otherwise, I don't see the reason for ECAL. And we are at that critical part, and I think the PAC should know that. And we are working on Wednesday on that issue, hopefully.
Okay, any other comments or questions for Vadim? Okay, thank you very much, Vadim. Now, Mikhail Kapishin will tell us all about the BMATEN experiment.
Okay, colleagues, I will present the progress in realization of baryonic matter at nucleotron. To remind you, this is the first experiment at the complex of NICA nucleotron, and this is a fixed target experiment. The energy, the beam from 1 to 6 GeV per nucleon, beams in the final stage from proton to gold with in a maximal intensity 10 to 7 for gold nucleus. I will go to the directly to the recent runs. In March, we performed experimental runs with argon and krypton beams, and the energy of argon beam was 3.2 GeV per nucleon, krypton beam 2.4 GeV per nucleon, and a short run with a high energy up to 3 GeV per nucleon. Setup is the following. Six planes of GEM detectors, big size. Three planes of silicon detectors in front of it. Then full time of light system, TOF 400, TOF 700, drift chambers as outer tracker, also cathode strip chamber as a prototype for outer tracker for heavy ion collisions. Also a trigger system. The aim was, primary program was to measure inelastic reactions of argon and krypton beam with different targets from aluminium to lead. The aim was to reconstruct and hyperon production in a central tracker, which is silicon plus GEM detectors, then identify charged particles and nuclear fragments in time of light system and measure their production yields of this type of particles, and gamma and multi-gamma states with electromagnetic calorimeter ECAL. Part of the calorimeter was also installed into the close to the beam. Altogether collected 130 million of events in, with argon beam, 50 million of events with krypton beams, and also performed a program with a carbon beam and a liquid hydrogen target following the short-range correlation studies. And for that, I refer to the next talk of Eli Pisetsky. We also analyzed data from previous technical runs with butyron and carbon beams with energy from 3.5 to 4.6 GeV per nucleon. Now about the beam profiles. You see the profile of the beam measured by beam transport group, krypton beam, X profile, Y profile. The sigma is about 5 millimeter in X, 3 millimeter in Y direction. Argon beam is, was somewhat high, wider, 5 to 5 millimeters. And a year ago, with the same optics, measured a carbon beam 6 to 5 millimeters. This is the reality which we, this beam we had to work. You see, this was measured in the interaction point here, and then beam diverges to about 3 times close to the end of the BMN setup. You also see here some halo over the 3 sigma of the beam, which we also have to care about. Now about the beam structure. First of all, you see here the response of our monitor, trigger monitor, to the argon beam, about 2.5 second spill. The structure, time structure is much better in this run in comparison with the run a year ago due to efforts of accelerator team. Then we performed a special effort on the data acquisition level to suppress pile-up effects, pile-up events. So we suppress all the beam events 3 microseconds in front of the trigger signal and half a microsecond after the trigger signal, just to suppress the pile-up in our detectors in electronics. And this, here you see the content or the fractions of the beam. If we apply low thresholds in beam counters, BC1 is the first counter, BC2 the second one, you see this structure. So this is krypton, then these are interaction in the first counter, the krypton beam, and this diagonal is what is going from the transport channel. To select our events, we applied the higher cuts and selected only this top of the iceberg, I would say, which we used in our data acquisition. Setup itself, you see big GEM detectors. The beam crosses the detectors through this hole. So detectors were installed above the beam in general. Then these are trigger detectors, barrel detector, silicon trigger detector and coordinate detectors, silicon coordinate detectors with the cooling system. Then new cathode strip chamber behind the magnet. You see here installation of time of flight system, TOF 400. And then drift chambers and TOF system, the elements. So this is general view of our setup behind the magnet. Here you see a zero-degree calorimeter, land detect, neutron detector for short-range correlation measurements, drift chambers, time of flight system, and data acquisition racks. Our major elements of central tracker is gen detectors, the size 1.6 meter to 45 centimeters. Up now at CERN workshop, with the participation of our engineers, 7 detectors are produced of this type. Now the task is to produce a lower part of the detector planes, and this task for next year. Here you see online response monitor of fragments of krypton beam in GEM detector during the run. Another important detector is silicon coordinate detectors, which is situated in front of GEM setup, 3 planes. One of bigger size, 25 to 25 centimeters, and two detectors of smaller size, 12.5 to 12.5 centimeters, which we name as vertex detectors. So we hope to reconstruct short tracks as segments already in silicon detectors and then combine them with GEM tracks for tracking. This response of silicon vertex detector to the krypton beam fragment. Made the first attempts to align GEM detectors using Millipede program, and here you see it's only GEM detectors. Finally, we should, of course, align silicon and GEM detectors together. You see here residuals of tracks before and after alignment in X and Y projection and distributions of vertex perpendicular to the beam and along the beam. After, before and after the alignment procedure. Another new detector is a cathode strip chamber, which we plan to install as an outer tracker for heavy ion collisions, which should sustain higher occupancies and rates of particles in gold-to-gold collisions. That's why it's split in different zones to reduce the occupancy. You see here the response to particles with the cluster, about 6 strips per particle. Here you see a correlation between DCH tracks and drift chambers, tracks and hits in cathode strip chamber, and response of the chamber to the interactions beamers here at this point. In general, we are satisfied with the response, and with some additional modifications, we plan to clone this chamber for heavy ion collisions. Another new detector was electromagnetic calorimeter, MPD type, 49 channels were for short times installed close to the carbon, argon, and krypton beams, collected data for about 1 day every time. And we plan to extract data to reconstruct states decaying into gamma. The team now performed a calibration using charged particles. We see a response to charge 1, charge 2, charge 3 particles close to the beam. And for outer channels, they plan to use cosmic particles to cross-calibrate them because statistics is not sufficient for this type of calibration. But we're still optimistic about that to get some physics results from this detector. Another important system is a trigger system, which is based on a barrel detector around the target and forward silicon trigger detector behind the target. This barrel detector, this segmented silicon detector with azimuthal sectors. And how it looks like in front of the, our setup. There are also data detector and beam counters. So our trigger was based on the multiplicity requirements in forward detector and forward detector in barrel detectors above some definite values to collect different kinematics of the reaction. I would say target fragmentation range, barrel detector, beam fragmentation range, forward detector. Time of flight system consists of two walls, two of 400, two of 700, covers the whole acceptance range of tracks reconstructed in the central detector. The present status quo, how we identify pines, cones, and heavier fragments, shown here. Our final aim is, of course, to identify also cones and to reduce the scattered particles which are not identified. For that, we need to improve the momentum quality of our reconstruction and also to improve the calibration at the setup. Using data from deuteron and carbon beam, we reconstruct signals of lambda hyperons. These are signal in deuteron beam and total signal in carbon beam and also signals in carbon, aluminium, and carbon copper interactions. You see that the width is reasonable, about 2.53 MeV, but the background under the peak is rather large. And for that purpose, we increase number of silicon detectors to improve the vertex reconstruction, primary vertex and secondary vertex reconstruction. And then we already published the first methodical paper about the results in deuteron run related to the details of this analysis. Presently, we are on the stage of developing the acceptance and detector efficiencies, comparing Monte Carlo in data to extract, hopefully, physics qualities, production yields for lambda particles. Then our beam parameters and setup at different stages of the experiment. We are here in 2018, collected data with carbon beam for SRC, argon, and krypton beam. The trigger rate was 10 kilohertz. The maximum intensity up to 0.5 mega particles per spill. Next time we plan to start in 2020 with heavier ions up to gold. Increase the with the same trigger rates, enlarge the setup to get the full setup for GEMS, and also implement large aperture silicon detectors from CBM, and then to increase the data acquisition capacity of our system in future. Now my present status and next plans. So we performed technical runs a year ago with deuteron and carbon beams, and recently with argon and krypton beam with low energy, about 2.4 and 3.2 GeV per nucleon. We also performed measurement of short-range correlations with carbon beam and liquid hydrogen target at the same run slot. We claim that major subsystem, the BMN setup are operational, but still in limited configurations. We develop algorithm for event reconstruction and analysis and reconstructed signals of lambda hyperon. And now the analysis of acceptances are underway. So the first meeting was held in April to form collaborations. You know already about that. Major plans for gold-to-gold collisions to start in 2020. It's first of all to collaborate with CBM to produce and install a large aperture silicon tracking system in front of GEM setup, extend GEM central tracker and cathode strip chambers outer tracker to full configuration, and also implement vacuum or helium beam pipe through the BMN setup. So this is all. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Michael. Are there any questions or comments? Hans.
I'm happy about your last point of the implement vacuum chamber. Forget the helium pipe, but vacuum is important. And I think you saw the first story already in your Krypton data that there's a lot of mess and you don't see even what's behind. But from your first part, I think you learned already a lesson. So it's good that you have the implementation of the vacuum, and I think CBM should get active on that also. Thank
you. But we still have not decided yet which type of vacuum on helium. We will discuss it on during the data duck meeting, I think, in more details.
Right, but you need to have it before you run gold. So you should implement it by next year.
Of course, we understand the time schedule.
Yes, Eduard?
I have some technical question. In one of your first slides, you have mentioned the size of the beam, which was about 5 millimeters in vertical and horizontal directions. I'm wondering whether these sizes are good enough for BMTN experiments, or you plan some further improvements of those size?
Of course, most of all, we are worried about the wrong direction. About the halo, which is outside the 3 sigma the beam, because this halo will contribute scattering in our detector elements, definitely. And that's why the difference between vacuum beam pipe and helium beam pipe already been not as big as we can assume. So that's why here I put question that we need some kind of collimators or system to suppress this halo on the transport line, but it's outside of our activity, so it's in the hands of beam transport group in the experiment. But definitely we need an instrument how to suppress halo particles and reduce the background in our detectors.
I have also a small question for you. You show the lambda reconstruction with the carbon beam. I believe that this is the data from 2017.
Yes.
And there you say that with silicon detectors you will be able to improve the performance. Now you had 3 planes of silicon in the run of 2018. Did you see the improvement?
No, we are still not on the stage to reconstruct lambda from this data. Next, I would say probably next PAC meeting, hopefully I will present you. But we are on the stage of alignment of the detectors, and as I showed you. So we didn't reconstruct the events in the proper quality up to now.
I mean, this reconstruction is pretty straightforward. Eventually, you could have it even online to see the reconstruction if you control the alignment of your detectors.
This is true for well-established experiment, of course. If you have the same geometry, the same detectors, and make a next run, of course, you can online monitor the response and reconstruct lambda. But in any new run, we introduce new detectors, you see. And during the run, it's difficult to make this track reconstruction and event reconstruction possible. Because you have new electronics, new detectors, new alignment. It's too many tasks for short runs. That's why. Okay. But finally, of course, when the BMTN will be established in geometry and setup, of course, we should do it online. I agree.
Okay. No further comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much, Michael. And now is the report on the short-range correlation study by Eli Piasecki.
Are you started? All right. Okay. We ran 10 days in March, so now it's exactly 3 months past running, and I would like to report briefly on what was done study short-range correlation here at Dubna. So let's start with the manpower. The international part of the collaboration is just request to join the Bionic Matter at Nucleotron collaboration. We're talking about one group that composed of four groups, one from Saclay, MIT, TU Darmstadt and GSI, and Tel Aviv University. We are all together 19 PhD plus four PhD students. Two of them are taking this as their PhD project at this point, and we hope to add more. And we would like to have Or Chen from MIT to be our representative. Of course, this is the international part. We couldn't do anything without the local people here. We had a great collaboration with all these people, and that allow us to take BIM and make experiment with only 1 month since the approval by you in the PAC meeting. Okay, so let's remind everyone, nuclei are very dense systems. However, on average, the distance between nucleons is larger than the radii, but from time to time they get close to each other. We call this two-nucleon short-range correlation. This is the topic of what we want to study. And the way we study it is that we go to momentum space, and when these two nucleons are close to each other, they have a very large relative momentum between them. So what we are looking is in the ground state of nuclei for a pair of nucleons with a very large relative momentum and a very small center of mass momentum, large and small, compared to the standard Fermi C level, which is about 250 MeV per C in medium and heavy nuclei. The standard way to do it is to use hard scattering and direct kinematics. You come with high energy probe. We did it with electron and proton so far. You kick one of the nucleon in the pair, you detect it, you measure also the recoil particle, and you break the pair and study its properties. The disadvantage of this process is that after you move these two particles, you have no idea what's happened with the rest of the system. I mean, I do it as if the A-2 stays as if as a one nucleus, but we don't know if it's break, we don't know anything about this A-2, and that's why we are here. The purpose of this experiment was to study what happened when you move two nucleons, two short-range correlated nucleons from the nucleus, what happened to the rest of the nucleus. And the way to do it is to use our scattering, but inverse kinematics. You take the nucleus with the pairs in it, and you, with high momentum, kick a standing proton in this case. You detect the two particles from the correlation, and you can also detect the recoil particle. But the most important, you detect the rest of the nucleus, which has roughly the momentum and the direction of the incoming beam, and you can study it. That's the unique feature of Dubna. That's the first time it's been done, and that's why we did it. That's what we want to find. So the experiment dictates the setup. The experiment was done using the bionic matter at Nucleotron setup. The target normally is sitting here. We move the target forward. We build a pair of spectrometer, a pair spectrometer to detect the two outgoing protons from the short-range correlation. And then we use the magnet and all the beam equipment as a mass spectrometer to measure the A-2. That's how it looks in a nicer way. This is the hydrogen target, which is set. This is the normal place for the target. It's much more upstream for this setup. The pair spectrometer includes two scintillators for trigger, a gem for tracking, and a TOF-400 detector for the timing. And then the A-2 was detected by two silicon detectors and the gems inside the magnet, and then all the standard equipment downstream. So let's start with the beam. We were looking for 3 × 10⁵. We got something between 1 and 5 × 10⁵. On average, something like 1 × 10⁵. The spill issue was presented here. We had a beautiful time distribution compared to previous time. We typically run with 2 to 3 second Vim structure, but the more important, that what didn't let me sleep before we start, is the fact that we had to remove the last quad, and we put our target much upstream than normal, and I was not sure that we can focus the beam well enough there. But beautiful focusing of the beam, a 2x2 centimeter, here at this point, with no last quad. That happened, that make the experiment possible. The Vito that was designed by 45 millimeter was just cleaning the edges. Exactly what it was supposed to do. And this was, at least to me, wasn't trivial if you can achieve. So for the beam accelerator people and the tuning people, we got a reasonable time structure and a great focusing, which was essential to do this experiment. So we skip this because you see a better picture. Okay, let's talk about the target, the beam counter. The target was a 30 centimeter hydrogen target. It's 5% interaction. Simple, old technology, works great. We put it in, twice a day we maintain it, and no problem is it. And then we had beam detectors. We had two beam detectors before the target and the Vito, and two beam detectors after the target. Those were supposed to identify the incoming beam. Those were supposed to identify the A-2, part of the A-2 identification, and the Vito just for cleaning. We have a perspectrometer, which had scintillators for triggering. It is a little bit too busy. GEMS for tracking and RPC for timing, all set in a non-standard way inside the chamber. Everything was done in a relatively record time. This is another picture. You can see here the GEMS, you can see here the TOF 400, and you see here the scintillator. Probably not, you have to be used to see it. Okay, so for the A-2, we have two silicon plants. We have the standard multi-proportional chambers and the standard downstream part, and all these serve, and two scintillator detector for the PID. All this serve like a mass spectrometer for the A-2 system. We also brought a neutron detector from GSI. This is standing at GSI. This is track that had some kind of not simple administrative issue, but eventually was working here at Dubna, and is still working here. It exists here. It's a 2 meter area with 5 planes of detectors and 80% efficiency. Fairly nice detector. Okay, so let's talk about analysis. We established 3 centers for analysis where we have the full set of data and the analysis tools. We have at MIT, we have one here and one in France. At MIT, Efrain is the graduate student that worked on it. And George, we lost him for some time due to personal. Hopefully we'll get him back and we'll push our program much faster. Always supervised this. Vasilisa here with Michael is working at GNR, and we are going to start working at Saclay in July when the postdoc will come. What we did so far is we analyzed the beam detector for time resolution PID at MIT. We are working now on the perspectrometer information. We also work on a big beam detector from the time and the track here. And we are changing now and working on track reconstruction here, focusing on track reconstruction. And at Saclay, we are going to focus on the A-2 identification. So let me show you preliminary results of what we have so far. Let's start with the beam counter. The beam counters, I want to talk about rates, profile, time resolution, and A-2 identifications as far as we got so far. Rates. The beam had carbon, but also had oxygen and nitrogen. In the 10 days of beam time, we collect altogether about 10 to the 9 ions. And if you take our straight trigger, short range trigger, plus the beam detector, everything, effectively we have 5 million events with a well identified carbon in and our trigger working. If I take the Monte Carlo, then that's the original Monte Carlo request for different time and so on, scale it to 5 million. what we do expect to find is about a few thousand quasi-elastic events, a thousand short-range events from NP pairs, and very too few to do physics of the PP and fourfold coincidence events. So we hope to do physics from this. Oh, I have another transparency, we'll show it clearly. We hope to be able to do physics from this measurement on the quasi-elastic, on knocking out an NP short-range pairs. This will be around 1,000 events. This will be around 100 events. And we are going to have a lot of events where we have the A minus 2 plus the 2 triggers. We didn't have enough statistics in this run to look for the PP short-range correlation and the full fold, fully exclusive measurement where you measure the two particles and the recoil and the nucleus. This requires more statistics than we have. Okay, so beam profile. This is a work done by Vasilisa Hill at Janir using the chambers before and after the target. You consider a construction X versus Y in the target position from the upper and the upstream and downstream pairs of detectors. As I say, it's fairly impressive. We have kind of 2 4x4 centimeter on the beam, very upstream, and without the last quad that's supposed to help to do it. Time calibration. At the end of the experiment, we put 2 more detectors to measure the time. This is the detector that's supposed to give our time in the experiment. And here, unfortunately, we didn't succeed to do as well as we thought. We were hoping to have a detector with 40 picosecond resolution. We didn't have it. We have a detector of about 100 picosecond resolution, including all the work correction and so on. It's only 100. That's the price that we pay. There is more beam migration, and our ability to identify between short and midfield nucleons is going to be less good. But according to the simulation, it's depend now on the time resolution for the detection of the two protons. But if it's not going to be too bad, we probably will manage with this data. Less good than optimal, but good enough to do the physics. Let's talk about the A minus 2 analysis. Assuming that we are coming with a carbon, you can look at the two other detectors, BC2 and BC3, and you can see that we can identify boron and beryllium. We have a typically of 0.5 to 1.5 million events of each, carbon in, boron out, or carbon in, beryllium out. And actually, if you want to look, this is the beautiful picture of the results. This is the Z-square reconstruction from BC3 and BC4. Those are pulse height detectors only, and you can see nicely the different particles. That's good for counting, not good for identification, event by event, but not supposed to, because what we want to do now is to look at the momentum at the time of flight versus track angle in the magnet, and this together with the other is supposed to tell us better. The lead we didn't really touch after we end the experiment. Close to the end of the experiment, we could see that it's working very nice. This is the position in the Vito versus the position in the detector. Charged particle have correlated heating, and the neutral has random coincidence, so the spread. Most of the detector was working, only a few channels didn't work. But I'm not sure we have enough statistics to really do a fourfold coincidence. It will be good for less level, for lower level of coincidence. Okay, so what we are playing after the booster construction? We want to repeat the measurement or do more measurement with better time resolution and better perspectrometer and enough statistics to be able to see also the PP pairs and the four-fold pole measurement. If you have more time, we want to do energy scan and try to see how low in energy we can go and still keep the physics nicely. That's very important for collider physics. And what we propose, and we're trying to get money to do in 2 years, is to replace the perspectrometer with 4 detectors based on a kind of a calorimeter that will allow us a nice efficiency, good enough resolution, and also maybe some small neutron detection capability and faster, more statistics in a given time. So I'll stop here and thank you.
Thank you very much, Eli. So this is now open for comments and questions. Hans?
My standard question is, what's your ratio target in, target out? That means you take your liquid hydrogen out and you see what kind of triggers you get.
And very small, about the factor of, don't remember, but very small. If you take the target out, you don't get many triggers like this.
But you have, of course, the target has material around and that you are not taking out.
No, if you take...
Yeah. Yeah, but that you have to estimate properly and subtract. So you should be probably in 1-to-1 or something like that. Close to 1-to-1.
No, it's not close to 1-to-1. It's close to 1-to-10 as far as I remember. I don't remember
that
the number.
That would be nice, yeah.
I have to check it. But this is a crazy trigger. I mean, you require two very, very large angle particles.
Right, right. So. And the other question is, do you understand why you have such a bad... time resolution?
Yes.
Where it comes from?
Do I understand? No. But I understand what a mistake. We did two mistakes, and that's I hope to fix. And the two mistakes were when something is crucial like this, it's not enough to have one detector. You have to put two. Lesson number two to learn is we were under pressure to take data. And we did the time calibration check at the end of the experiment. We should have done it at the beginning of the experiment. Those are the two lessons I learned from this.
Antonio.
So I understand that you trigger on the two proton in end, right?
Yes.
The question is, did you try to have also set up a minimum bias trigger with
one? Yes, yes. We have combination of triggers of... by the way, we detect... We trigger on these two plus incoming plus two going out and so on, but we have all kind of mixture of all the others. Triggers, yeah.
Yes, Roman.
You mentioned collider physics. Do you see advantages of performing such type of experiment that in collider mode?
Oh, yeah.
Could you tell us just shortly?
Oh, in general...
That could be a...
Yeah, the nice thing, thing about collider is the following for this study. You come with a beam, and from the short-range correlation, you get particles with momentum higher than your beam. Because you look for particles with high momentum that go in the direction of your momentum, and it's boosted forward. So you have a very unique and clean situation that you can trigger on the short-range piece of the nuclear physics by just looking at momentum bigger than your beam. And you don't have so much background of this kind. Now, the advantage of collider gets more and more as you reduce the energy because then it's easier to do. But we don't know. There's a trade-off between making an art process which makes the physics clean and going down and getting more statistics. And we want to test it here. If we can go down from 4 GeV to 3 GeV or 2 GeV, it's make a lot of difference as far as the colliding rate is concerned. So that's the collider story. And we want to work it for electrons also, of course.
Okay, Hans.
One question, how can you separate your short-range correlation from the Fermi motion which you have in the nucleus? You get kinematically a very high square root of that.
So what we know, that's come from electron scattering data, is that once your missing energy is above some threshold, you're dominated by short range. Actually, from the electron scattering measurement we did, once you go above 300 MeV per C, slightly above the Fermi C level, 100% of the particles are coming with pairs. So each time you knock on, there's another one going backward. So the trick is to construct PMIS and cut on PMIS bigger than something, and that's why the timing is so important. And by having 100 instead of 40, we're not helping ourselves. But hopefully it's good enough if the per spectrometer will give us good enough resolution.
Okay, so thanks again, Eli. And now we start the series of new projects that were completed in 2018 and are seeking continuations. The first one is the NA61 that will be presented by Viktor Kireev.
Hello, so can I start? Yes, my name is Viktor, I work in the Bibelhab, and today I will speak about the NA61 SHINE project. So SHINE stands for SPS Heavy Ion Neutrino Experiment. Project leader in GNR is Alexander Malakhov. Deputy project leader is Georgi Melkumov. And the SHINE physics program was already presented at the Laboratory Technical Scientific Council in this March. SHINE experiment is also included into the 7-year plan for the development of GNR in 2017-2023. So you can see paragraph 5 here, obtaining new results in the energy scan program in experiments in A61 at SPS and STAR at RIG. After 47th PAC meeting, we received recommendation to optimize our group size and increase participation in the analysis. So our group size is more or less optimized now. You can see the list here. And in more details, in these tables here, one can see that Bibelhab group is more or less young. So 67% of participants are young scientists. And you can also see how many people are now involved into the analysis. So this is an A61 SHINE detector general view. A main tracking device is four large volume time projection chambers. Two of them are located inside the magnetic field. Two others are downstream of magnets. Setup is also supplemented by time of flight detector surveys and the projectile spectator detector. One of the top walls, top left detector, was constructed and put into operation by the Bibelhab group in 1995-96. And now in October 2017, this setup was also supplemented by new small forward time projection chambers, by small acceptance vertex detector, and by MRPC-based prototype of CWF detector. And you can see how looks lead-lead event here inside detector geometry. An A61 physical program includes the next main items. It's a study of nucleus-nucleus collisions, with the aim to identify the properties of the onset of the confinement and to find the evidence for the critical point of strongly interacting matter. Study of proton-proton and proton-nucleus collisions as a reference data for better understanding of nucleus-nucleus interactions and the measurements of hadron production in hadron-nucleus interactions for neutrino and cosmic ray experiments. Experimental strategy is to perform 2D energy system size scan, study as many as possible event by event fluctuation signals to see how an A49 observables like Horn evolve with system size. A lot of new physics results were published last year. Some of them you can see in this list. And one of interesting results is system size dependence of negatively charged hadrons multiplicity fluctuations at 30 and 160 GeV. So the observed rapid change of hadron production properties that start when moving from beryllium-beryllium to argon-scandium collisions can be interpreted as the beginning of creation of large clusters of strongly interacting matter. This phenomenon was referred to as the onset of the fireball. So the two-dimensional scan conducted by NA61 SHINE by varying collision energy and nuclear mass number indicates four domains of hadron production properties separated by two thresholds, onset of fireball and onset of deconfinement. Now I'm going to our group contribution and responsibilities. So our group participates in the data taking. Our group is responsible for R&D work for future TOF upgrade, MRPC-based TOF upgrade, for TOF left-right response simulation within the Shine framework, for development and maintenance of the legacy software library, for raw data reconstruction, DST production, and for data analysis. 3 PhD and 2 doctoral dissertations have been successfully defended on the NA61 results by the GNR employees, and more than 3 PhD dissertations are planned now to be prepared. For next 3 years, we plan to continue TOF left-right maintenance, participate in data taking, continue TOF online monitoring and R&D work for future TOF upgrade. As for software, we plan to continue development of TOF simulation tools and DST production. As for analysis, we will have group have now 3 young employees, and we will focus on the following physics cases. It's a study of light nuclei production like zeutron, triton, helium-3 and others in nucleus-nucleus interaction. This is continuation of our group analysis tradition. Investigation of hadron flow in nucleus-nucleus interaction together with MIEFI group, and study of hyperon production and search for hypernuclei, and this topic can be also interesting for NICA projects. LMP group will continue data analysis for Fermilab neutrino program. In order to fulfill all mentioned tasks, our estimation of needed resources are shown on this table. So in total for 3 years, it's $323K. Now it's my short conclusions. The present project has been prepared taking into account recommendation of 47th GenPAC meeting. Optimization of the number of project participants and their participation was made. Participation of GNR members group in the data analysis was increased. In A61 GEN members participated at 5 international conferences and were the co-authors of 9 publications. In 3 publications, the key authors. A detailed R&D program for the future NA61 TOF MRPC upgrade is prepared for further study of MRPC performance. Extensive beam tests at the CERN SPS are scheduled for this autumn. An agreement with the leader of NA61 experiment on providing dedicated heavy ion data analysis training for young employees was reached. So the creation of a forge of personnel for NICA experiments opens. There are also some news, some recent news. So on June 8, SPSC recognized the broad interest of the NA61 physics program and recommends data taking in 2021. Our directorate also supports our group to speed up tests and commissioning of new TOF system, and corresponding letter has been sent to laboratory. So we ask you to recommend an approval of GNR participation in NA61 project within the team number 1087 for a period of next 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This proposal was reviewed by 2 internal referees and by Peter Christoph from our committee. Peter unfortunately could not come, but I have here his written report, and I will mention part of it in a moment. Just for the sake of completeness, I wish to remind all of you that NA61 was discussed last year by our PAC, and at that time we decided the following, and I will just read the relevant sentences. NA61 was expected to complete the data taking phase in 2018.
The pack appreciates the role of the GINR group in data taking, detector and software maintenance, but considers that the impact on physics analysis is not commensurate to the group size and would like to see a larger involvement in leading physics analysis. The pack recommended continuation of the GINR participation in the NS61 experiment with the current group size until the end of the NS61 data taking phase, namely till 2018. Continuation of GINR team activities within NS61 on R&D or data analysis beyond 2018 would require submitting a new proposal. So this is what the group is doing now. They are submitting a new proposal. So this proposal, as I mentioned, was reviewed by Peter. Peter, I will not read the full his full report, but some parts of it. Peter estimates that the new proposal successfully addresses the following questions: optimizes the number of project members and their participation shares in the project, presents the detailed analysis plans, increases the involvement of young researchers and puts accent on their training and development, and exploits the possibilities for synergy with the NICA activities. He also mentioned the fact that was also emphasized a moment ago, that the SPS committee of CERN has decided to allocate beam time after the long shutdown LS2 in 2021 to NA61 physics program. The committee recommends approval of beam times for detector commissioning with hadron beams, for the measurement of hadron production with the T2K target with proton beams, and for the measurement of open charm production with lead ion beams. The reviews of the two internal referees, V. Burov and I. Tyapkin, are positive and support the request extension. And Peter concludes, I am very satisfied with the overall structure of the project and the way the PAC recommendations have been implemented. I completely agree with the opinion of both referees and propose to extend the GINR participation in the NS61 experiment in 2019-2021. So, with this being said, now this is open for discussion. Antonio.
Yeah. Well, there is a point which I would like to stress about the procedure. So in my opinion, stressing too much on the side of the proponent that the experiment has been approved by the SPSC or other bodies, this looks like an improper pressure. I would like to drop this kind of information. So if the referee know or want to know about the fate of the any other committee, it's free to do. But I don't want to consider that the experiment gets more recognition because has been the experiment has been approved by the SPSC. We are talking here about the participation of the GNR group, which is largely independent from the approval of the experiment from the SPSC. So we are not just following here what the SPSC is doing, okay?
Yeah, in other words, this is a essential condition to be approved by the CERN committee, but beyond that, we want to see what the internal group here is going to do. Any other questions or comments? Hans?
I mean, it's obvious that GINR has not infinite resources, and it falls exactly into the time where you want to have young people working closely with experts on setting up the run with gold on gold. and that starts tomorrow. And it's this kind of inside-outside activities which you have to balance. We have even with MPD people I see on the list, even the director is on the list with Shrine. So how much can you really do? How much dancing on two marriage ceremonies? And I don't see that's an easy task. So my point is, one has to really look at, do you have the young people for doing now MPD and BM at end work tomorrow? Or how can you share the pool of young people and attract people to do CERN work in this fixed target mode?
Yeah, this is a question that you want to address to whom? Does the management want to answer?
I would say that this is not a question to the management of the Joint Institute. It is the question to the management of the laboratory.
So is the management of the laboratory willing to answer?
But I think that it is important to participate in this project because it is related, the physics is related to the future NICA project. So I think that there should be a reasonable participation in both.
You want to add to it, Vladimir?
Okay, I agree. Indeed, it's beneficial to participate in such experiment. It gives us some experience, but unfortunately we have lack of manpower for the analysis, for the going deeply in that. So we should limit ourselves, but with very reasonable part of our people we could participate, but not with a full scale, definitely, because we have lack of manpower to do analysis in our cases. We already at the stage of doing analysis, not at the stage for the, we could postpone our analysis for future. But with some limited part, we could do it.
Antonio.
Well, on the scientific grounds, I think that the experiment is performing well, and actually this new proposal is going in the good direction. I want to be clear about this. And in particular, I would like to see that the mentioned SBSC recommendation are actually honored, because they talk very specifically about two points which I didn't hear, or that's my fault, I didn't hear mentioned here, about the T2K related work in particular. So, but then there is another issue which we probably have to discuss later on in the closer session, which is long ago we mentioned that the typical approval of experiments with high priority, all experiments are approved with high priority. I think this is outdated. So we proposed long ago to go towards a ranking, high priority, medium priority, low priority. And this was our strong request. So in particular, personally, I'm not working anymore with this statement. I never say high priority, because I think we have to come to a prioritization. And this has nothing to do with this specific proposal, but it's probably something that we have to address.
Thank you. Okay, not for you, are not just I was saying thank you to Antonio.
Okay.
I have a few questions for you. You mentioned at some point that there were several publications from NA61, three of them were led by GINR members. Could you mention what those three papers are?
Sorry, not yet.
Sorry?
No, I don't have his name on slides.
So you don't know what the three papers that you have written are?
I know, but I don't remember full names of his papers. So maybe our group leader can help me.
Sorry.
slide it possible to see these three articles. For example, two from this last, only two authors.
Can you just mention one, which journal was it published? What is it? I see A. Malakhov there, but I don't see where it was published.
Also, it's possible to see a Kolesnikov dissertation, and this dissertation was prepared on the basis of the article on the light nuclear production, in which also our people play a role.
This one that is on the screen now was submitted to what journal?
This is a European.
It says archive. It doesn't say where it was published.
In European journals. We published all article in European journal. Last article, Lukas von Malakhov, for example, now published in European journal. And picture on the next slide from this article. It is dependence of T parameter from energy for the NA61 experiment, for example. And our traditional participation in analysis of data of the light nuclear in lead light collisions and the other collider nuclear, it is our direction, and we have some publication in this. It's a pity that it's not maybe a good see now on this slide of all articles.
Yeah, we say that repeatedly. I mean, whenever you present a list of papers, you should say what are the papers that you have participated on, so one can really get a good impression. I see many things that look like conference proceedings there. This is not what I call a referee publication, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I have two other questions. One of the recommendations of last time was to somewhat reduce the size of the group involved in NA61 because it was judged to be too large. You presented a list of members. This is the current list of members?
Yes.
And in the previous proposal, how many did you have?
I don't remember yet. It's 1 year past.
And previously, we have five people more. And also, now, these people participate only some part of the time, because many from these people participate in the NICA project. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a full time equivalent. Here it possible see it's not enough large. 3.3 only in our laboratory. 3.3.
Yeah, I see there. I cannot read that very well, but I see FT equivalent of 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 in many cases. Do you think that this is effective?
Yes, effective, because people who has such a small coefficient participate in the realization of a new time-of-flight system, and
this is the same system approximately as for the NICA, and main part of the work they have here in Joint Institute, and in CERN they participate only in runs, and it's enough for it to have such coefficient. People which participate in this work. But some people, shifters, and people which participate in the analysis of data have some more coefficient. It is it's optimized.
But okay, I have
analysis was also will be very similar to analysis at the MPD, for example.
Okay, I have a final question. Your experiment is approved to run in 2021. So what is the group going to do from now till 2021?
We will participate in the analysis of data. Now this experiment has many experimental data which it need to analyze, and in this slide it possible see physical tasks in this direction, and during this time also it possible to prepare young physicist for the NICA experiment, and Maria Gradzinski, which is leader of the experiment, promised to help in this for tasking of these young people. And now this process we begin. Our three young people now participate in analysis and
okay, then to complete that thing, can you show your budget request? So you are requesting in total for the 3 years $300,000, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
And on travel, you are requesting 200, so 2/3 is for travel. But there is no run in 2019 and there is no run in 2020. The run is in 2021. So why do you need so much travel?
Because we participate now in runs. It is enough long time, some months. And it need to participate, and also for active participation and analysis, it need to have a visit to the CERN also, because now we have young people and it need to have contact with responsible people in the CERN.
Hans.
Can you show, please, the page where you have the young people at H, with the H? Now the other one was, yeah, here. Okay. Now, I consider a graduate student at the age of 24 to 25, 26, usually a very active and knowledgeable person. He teaches even the professor what's now done in the experiment. That's how I see it. So are these people here graduate students or are these postdocs already? Graduate students. And they have planned, practically all have planned to, after 3 years, to be PhD student. So they need 3 years more? No. They can be in 1 year PhD or not. Sorry, are they after 3 years making their doctoral exam?
So that means this. I hope
that during this 3 years, they can obtain PhD degree. Yes, yes. They have now same baggage, and for the preparation of the dissertation, it need to this 3 years, and it's enough.
Antonio, please.
Yeah, the issue of travel money is common to many other experiments, so this is just the trigger for the discussion. So we said many times that whenever you have a low fraction of FTE per person, this is a particularly unfortunate case where you have very little. So on the other hand, you see, if you go back to the travel table, you see that you in 2021 you request 85, which is reasonable for a full running day a year, and the 60 and 65 certainly do not match to this. Now, I mean, we are not newcomers. We know how things happen during a year where you have no beam. You have meetings, you have normal maintenance of the detector, but this is at a much reduced level. Since this is an experiment which is running since years, and everybody knows how to do it, even from remote. So I cannot buy the issue that you need all this money for those 2 years. And just to be coherent with the other experiments where we apply cuts. So in my opinion, this is not us probably to decide. It's the lab, but I think this is not adequate.
Want to comment to that or not?
No. We have experience of participation, and for example, in this year we participate in this experiment, and approximately it need to have such money for this. It's experimental fact.
Okay, if there are no more questions or comments, then thank you very much for your presentation. We now move to the second project seeking a continuation. This is the NA62 experiment, and this will be presented by Dmitry Madigozhin.
Yes. I present you the proposal to extend the NA62 project in GNR, that is a measurement of rare decay K plus to pi plus nu at the CERN SPS. The collaboration is large, it's an international collaboration, and from our side, Laboratory of High Energy Physics participates. This is a list of participants, and we have project leaders, Kikilidze and Potrebennikov. The motivation for this experiment is related to the very fundament of high energy physics, to a standard model. There are so-called golden decays of kaons to pion and to neutrino that are theoretically very, very clean, and they give an opportunity to make a very sensitive test of standard model, as the probabilities are directly related to the parameters of the Kubi-Walker-Bayesian matrix. This decay is theoretically clean. The hadronic matrix element is measured with KL3 decays. For now, we have a standard model prediction, and as well as a prediction of many extensions and other exotic theories. And also we have the experimental status that actually consists of the two experiments finished in BNL, and that produced 7 events, and the estimation of the branching of this decay on the basis of the 7 events is like this. It is compatible with standard model, but the error is much worse, and the central value is 2 times higher. The strategy of NA62 is the following way. Our ultimate goal is to reach 10% precision of this background. That means 100 constructed events in the small background. The idea is to measure the incoming pion, incoming count and outcoming pion, and then to calculate the missing mass and to compare the distribution, well, to clean up the distribution from the background. Of course, the backgrounds are huge. Here we can see the physical backgrounds. The largest one, the largest three comes from the dominating modes, Kn2 mu nu, Kn2 pi plus pi, pi zero, and Kn2 three pi charged. But they are kinematically separated due to the specific distribution of missing mass due to kinematics from two regions that should be populated by our decay. We call it region 1 between mu nu and pi plus pi zero, and region 2 between pi plus pi zero and 3 pi. And also there are many other sources. There is a long history of our participants in CERN program. We start from NA48, then NA48/2, and NA62 RK stage that was used on the NA48 detector. And the analysis of NA48/2 is still ongoing and at final stage, and we are involved. And NA62 inherits some elements of NA48/2, but it is really novel setup that solves a new challenging task, and includes the most important change was the measurement of incoming kaon that requires a so-called K-tag that distinguish kaons from charged pions, and gigatracker that can measure the momentum and position of incoming charged particles. Then they enter the vacuum decay volume, and the pion momenta are measured in the straw detector that works in vacuum. And then a series of detectors works as a veto and distinguish different and particle identification. Here you can see the parameters of beam. Finally, we have a 75 GeV moment beam, and decay region is 60 meters long. Our responsibility was related from the very beginning to the spectrometer, that is one of the key elements of the setup. We were participating in R&D and so on. It was finished. The hardware stage of our participants is finished almost in 2014. And we were one of the first detectors that was finished in time. Currently, we are responsible for the high voltage and for the monitoring of the slow control of the detector. Spectrometer performance was as it was expected from Monte Carlo. Here you can see the leading time distribution, and here you can see the measured missing mass spectrum resolution in comparison with the Monte Carlo simulated. And one can see that the largest expected contribution to this resolution comes from spectrometer, and we reproduce the expected resolution, so spectrometer works well. Now I will report you about the first PNU new result. In 2004, there were just a pilot run, no physics. In 2015, also no physics, because other detectors, including GTK, were late. Actually, the full detector installation is completed in September 2016, so in the end of the run. and the first data set is related to the end of this run. The currently continuous data taking is going until the end of 2018, and the prolongation after the long shutdown is expected. Here you can see the performance of timing the made on the K3 pi decays, and here you can see the performance of rich particles identification depending on the momentum. We use the blind analysis strategy to avoid the influence of the selection criteria variation. It means that if we decided to publish or to finalize some next part of the data analysis, we should predefine the signal region and close it from looking. We don't look until the end of the analysis on the signal region. So here you can see the charged pion momentum and here the missing mass. And we have two regions of signal boxes that are closed when we don't look inside until they are opened, and after that, we develop a selection, we try to improve the reconstruction and look on the background regions, and then when the signal region is opened, events are counted inside this region, and selection and reconstruction is frozen. So after that, we cannot change too much. We can only look on the background, on some Monte Carlo. And so if the signal is opened for the partial some part of the statistic, it cannot be added to more completed sample later. But the partial result may be published separately. So first, we analyze only a small fraction of the available data collected in 2016. The purpose is to understand that we understand how to analyze, and we can, on the basis of this analysis, we can predict what we will have further with a large sample. Here you can see the efficiencies of the identifications that are applied apart from the, for all the events here. At the very beginning, we have taken just a 5% of this small fraction and tune the selection, and we have not found the events in this small fraction, and then we have thrown away this very beginning of the NA62 data because it doesn't conform to the blind analysis strategy. So the rest of the of the 2016 data is analyzed now. Here you can see the comparison of missing mass distribution between the data and Monte Carlo. We can see that Monte Carlo reproduced it. And this resolution consists of mainly of the giga tracker and spectrometer resolutions, and you will see how well we reproduce and predict the tails. Then many veto are applied, and unfortunately we have discovered the unexpected upstream background problem that is caused, let me go a little bit back to the, that is caused by the decays before the last collimator. Normally the decays in the interaction before this collimator produce the products that go away or are vetoed by the Chanti special veto against the charged particles. But small fraction of them are deviated by the last dipole into the decay volume, and even smaller part cross the other kaon, and we accidentally have the imitation of our signal. Unfortunately, this huge flux. There is a fraction that goes through existing shielding, that goes through the collimator. Actually, from the very beginning, a very small cut was foreseen to exclude this small region of the collimator slit. But finally, we have found that there is a fraction of pions that go through the existing shielding and through the collimators and through the veto. So, unfortunately, it was completely was not foreseen. And for now, we work hardly to reinforce the shielding, just to add some matter to make smaller this unexpected background, to improve the the veto efficiency, and also to improve the analysis to find how we can diminish this background. But currently we just use the very simple thing. We increase the cut at the collimator plane, and it unfortunately costs us the essential diminishing of acceptance. We have 4% acceptance instead of 10% acceptance. As a result, we have here the results of the analysis of the data collected in the 2016. That is a very small part of already collected data, just a percent or something like this. This is an amount of cone decays in the fiducial region, the estimations of the grounds, and the estimation of amount of the signal events in assumption that the branching calculated from standard model is valid. So we can call this amount the standard model events amount, and it show us how much statistics we have. So the control trigger pi plus to pi zero is used for normalization. Normalization acceptance is normal, 10%, because we use the pi zero tagging. And after the opening of the box, we have found one event, one signal event. Okay, it could be zero, but we have occasionally found one. Nothing strange. We can calculate for the statistics the limitation for branching ratio and also the estimation of branching from this measurement. Currently, it is, of course, much worse than the existing data based on 7 events. And now we are working on the data processing of 2017 and 2018. But the good thing from this analysis is that we more or less predict the worst. It is a worst estimation that we will see 20 standard model events before long shutdown, mainly collected in 2017 and 2018, and the running after 2018 to be approved. So we have the response from the SPSC committee. The official minutes read that the committee congratulates NS62 collaboration on the result on opinion analysis on the 2016 data set and on the observation of on first candidate. The committee notes pleasure with the publication of the searches for heavy neutral leptons. Heavy neutral leptons, I will show you a little bit later, and also acknowledge the continuation of the NA48/2 data and publication of the older analysis. On the basis of your projection of 20 signal events before long shutdown, the committee looks forward to seeing the experimental strategy and timeline for achieving the 10% precision of the branching measurement after long shutdown 2. Waiting for your feedback, we wish you a successful 2018 run. Finally, our spokesman, Augusto Cicucci, concluded that the bottom line is that we can count on the 2021-2022 to complete the opinion measurement, But in such a case, we can. It is easy. We have for two years of the full scale running. We have from 2 years. We have 20 events, and so if we will do nothing and we will just wait for new statistics, we will just multiply it by the factor of two. So the ultimate goal of the project, that is 100 events and 10% branching precision, looks currently somewhat problematic, and we can, as we cannot predict the run's prolongation after 2022. Of course, management is always much more optimistic. Well, so what means the 40 events? It means that actually the discovery potential is not lost. We have just a little bit worse predictive power. In the previous period, we have reached some results based on NA48 data. The published papers was published in journals, the preprints, the conference talks. Two patents was obtained on the basis of this straw detector production, and our group plans are related to the heavy lepton measurement and four lepton decays as an additional sources. This is the results for the heavy lepton measurements. This is the proposed additional tasks that are considered a spire task from the very beginning, but they will. We have currently a lot of statistics for any additional tasks. And this is the analysis strategy, assuming the present running condition. Here you can see what I just write the number of events, and here are the plans for the analysis of different modes. And you can see that the requested extension is mainly the period of the analysis. We will analyze the obtained data. This is a list of people. We have people who plan to make a PhD, and this is a list. This is the expenses. The total expenses is 318, and the travel expenses for the years without running are less than half of the expenses for the data taking period. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Before we go into the discussion, I will give the floor to Antonio. He was our PAC member referee. So please give us your evaluation, and then we will open the discussion.
Okay. So I don't think I would read the report, which is in the on the web page. So I will probably mention a few points. So first of all, starting with the positive aspects, I see that the ratio between number of FTEs and number of participants it's good. I see several high FTE quota, so this is good. And also, what I find good, and there was probably a misunderstanding before, what is good is also the ratio between the travel money for non-running and running period, which is below 50%, and I think this should be applied to the previous experiment as well, maybe even more. Why I say even more? Because there is this issue of this ununderstood background, so maybe understood but not cured, and this to me looks very serious, and so I would like to know maybe after what is the strategy of the GNR group about this hardware activity, since you plan to participate in the off-beam activities. So this is typically something that you should work on. Then, of course, having 40 events at the end of 2022, this is not the goal, but we have to live with that. My impression is that the risk is that can you please stop moving the slides? You make me sick. Okay, thank you.
I just tried to illustrate.
No, but okay. Yeah. So normally you plan to have 40, but 40 is a sort of upper limit. So we will have to.
No, 40 is a lower limit.
Well, okay.
If you'll do nothing, okay. The 40 okay. is expected. If we will invent something, we will move.
Okay. Now the something is to move from 4% acceptance to 10% acceptance,
yes.
which is a long way to go. So, in my opinion, the summary of the discussion, which was I also pointed out in the report, is that to me this is serious work done by serious people. Now the question is, if the lab believes that this is still in a high priority regime, because we will have 2 years shutdown, common to many other projects at CERN, and from 2021 a sort of catch up to rescue the present situation. Now, so this is a decision of the lab to some extent. In my opinion, this is serious work. I would have liked, of course, not having this shutdown, but we cannot do anything. So I would like to know what is your overall strategy then.
Well, the strategy regarding this source of background, there are two directions. First. Is not related to gender group. We just try to increase the shielding. They insert the heavy material before the upstream background and the collimator. And also one more work is not also again related to the gender group is the increasing of the efficiency of the veto. At the very beginning of the volume, what we can from what we are obliged to work to do from our side, we are working on the spectrometer and try to invent maybe additional conditions, additional rejection procedures based on the. Multiplicity of the event. We have extra hits in the spectrometer. We have extra segments of tracks that are not used so far. So it might be that we will propose the additional cuts that will diminish this extra unexpected background. And if every effort that will diminish this upstream background will lead to the diminishing, to the squeezing of this new cut that is shown as purple here, and to increasing of the acceptance. That is that's our.
Yeah. If you allow me two more comments, which I forgot before, your candidate event is marginal in the fiducial, let's say in the acceptance region. So I wonder what is the resolution in the missing mass squared.
Well, missing mass distribution is shown here.
If you look at the event is marginal in the acceptance.
Yes, the event is marginal, but this is blind analysis. You close the eyes.
Of course,
you're
yes.
right and. It is yes. It is marginal. Well, the other tests, it could be also the background, of course. We have a prediction for background that is not zero. That is actually it is comparable with the predicted amount of events. It's comparable.
At this level, we cannot say anything. Neither us nor you. So
at this level, yeah.
And the very last comment. Sorry for saying that again, but I personally don't like that you tell us all what about the SPSC is telling to reinforce your case. Okay.
So sorry?
I think you should not report what the SPSC is telling to us. Okay. Thank you.
But the prolongation after shutdown depends on SPSC.
This does not affect the, our evaluation?
It affects the prolongation after long shutdown. So it affects our, in any case, it affects our plans.
Okay, I would like also to add ask for some clarifications. You say in the most optimistic scenario, if you run in 2021 and 22, you will reach a total sample of 40 events.
No, it is pessimistic scenario.
Is it what?
It is pessimistic scenario. It means if we will do nothing, we will have 40 events.
Okay, so and that results in a 60% statistical accuracy.
But the error is will be 16% instead of 10%.
Right.
This square.
Yeah, but you don't say, is this a free background measurement? Is this no systematic uncertainty in your number?
The systematic uncertainty will be much smaller. Actually, if you will look here, the predicted amount of this is what the first line that is done for the 2016 is the predicted amount of standard model events, and you can see that the error are very small. This the other.
So this is the number 0.267.
Yes.
But then you have a line before we say the total background is 0.15.
The total background number will also the work on background is going on, but we cannot tell that it will scale just according to the statistics. Final estimations for the relation between the statistical error, systematical error, and background are the following: that the main source of the error is just statistics of the collected events. All the other sources will be first of all they depend on analysis. If we simulate more Monte Carlo, if we analyze more carefully the data-driven estimations of the background, it will diminish or define it more exactly. And all the estimations show that the other contributions to the error will be much smaller.
And can you just also, for my own education, what is the current, the state of the art today this measurement?
The state of the art consists only of this. Actually, it consists only on the seven events collected on the basis of completely another experimental technique in BNL. It is a stopped chaos decay with a very small acceptance. In the end of 90s, there were two more competing projects, one in G-Park and another in FLAF now. But then the projects have been at least FNAL experiment was abandoned because of the costs, and G-Park experiment don't show nothing from that time. So currently, it seems that we have no real competition at that moment. Mm-hmm. We have just seven events and nothing. So if you will have 40 events, you can see on this picture the change. I have shown the estimation of the errors for the measurement of branching ratio for the case if we have if we will have actually the standard model value and as a opposite limit, if we have the central value measured in BNL. And you can see that I show this change of the error from 100 standard model events to 40 standard model events. Mm-hmm. So the potential for discovery is not lost, of course it is worse, and it is not what, for example, CERN people would like to show. I show it especially for our committee, for GNR committee, so you can make a decision with the open eyes. This is a difference between worst case and the best case. Worst case and the best case. That's all.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other comments or questions? Okay, so, yes, please.
Let us consider that this experiment will finish with all success and so on. How is influenced to the existing theory? And which is the real discovery potential of this activity?
Ah, it is shown here. This is a standard model, and this is different extensions of the standard models. I'm not serious, so I cannot discuss. So these points related to different versions of the standard model extensions, and also there are regions related to the parameters of different other models. So first we can, of course, we can just a check of standard model, and then if we will, for example, if we will suddenly see that the central value obtained by BNL is the case, it will be discovery. We will move to some of the extensions of the standard model. It is new physics.
Seems strange.
No, it is very different. There are two so-called golden modes with a very small theoretical uncertainty, and there are a lot of theorists who have provided this general picture before, many years ago.
Very strange that the previous talk concerning NA61, which is less the full-time equivalent and the money and so on, have a great discussion concerning activity, a comparison activity of the CERN and the activity into the NICA project. And here is much more funding and manpower and no problem with accepted this project.
No, why not problem? I have a lot of objections or discussion from referees.
This is okay. Thank you for the comment.
It's different physics. It's different physics, I think it's.
Okay, if no further questions or comment, I think we should thank the speaker again. And in view of the fact that we are running late with the schedule, we propose to break for lunch now and get back at 2:30. So the talk on Hyper NIS is postponed to after lunch.